Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Famous Personalities. We've tackled the sun, the moon, and airplanes, but this time we're a little closer to home. This scientist really radiates determination in every aspect and is a role model for women all over the world. This episode is dedicated to Marie Curie, a brilliant scientist who made the role of women prominent in science. Several times throughout her life, the unfortunate ideology of women being inferior to men deprived her of rewards that she deserved via her research. This episode aims to bring honor to Marie Curie, one of the greatest scientists to ever live, so please be ready for a hopefully wonderful tribute. Before starting, I'd like to tell everyone a little bit about what scientist Marie Curie is famous for. Arguably one of the most famous accomplishments of Curie should be accredited to both Marie and her husband Pierre, the discovery of the elements polonium and radium. By sorting through pitchblende, which is also known as uraninite, Marie was able to produce an incredibly small amount of radium. Radium was also believed to be a potential cure for cancer. While Marie Curie did not specifically claim that radium could cure cancer, the endless possibilities made her name synonymous with the discoverer of the cure for the disease. Their discovery of radioactivity earned Marie and Pierre a Nobel Prize, shared that year with Henri Becquerel. She was the first woman to receive a Nobel Prize. In 1911, Marie received a second Nobel Prize for isolating radium, her work in radioactivity, and creating a means of measuring it. Curie also contributed to war efforts during World War I. She worked to develop small, mobile X-ray modules that could be used to diagnose injuries. Along with her older daughter Irene, she traveled Europe to help soldiers. Another notable accomplishment of Marie Curie is her 1921 trip to the United States. As part of a campaign to help receive enough supplies to fund her research, Marie traveled to the United States along with her two daughters and toured many cities, institutions, and factories. Marie Mattingly Maloney, also better known as Missy Maloney, helped Marie Curie throughout her visit to America. Greatly weakened by the time she made this trip, Madame Curie was supported thoroughly by Maloney, who made accommodations throughout her trip. So some famous accomplishments of Marie Curie include her 1903 Nobel Prize in Physics and her Davy Medal, which she earned the same year. In 1904, she received the Medici Award. In 1909, she received the Elliott Crescent Medal. In 1911, she earned the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. In 1921, she earned the John Scott Legacy Medal and Premium, the Willard Gibbs Award, and Benjamin Franklin Medal. Early life. Marie Curie was born as Maria Solomea Skłodowska on November 7, 1867. She was born into a family that valued education. This particularly is emphasized by the fact that Marie's parents were both involved in the field of education, her father being a teacher, and her mother holding the post of headmistress at a girls' school. Though her name was Maria, her family called her Mania as an affectionate nickname. She demonstrated talent and brilliance as a young child and began to read and write very early on. She also had a very sharp memory and did very well in school. However, Curie's life was not perfect. Her childhood and teen years were fraught with tragedy and hardship. One key problem was Russia's control of Poland. Russia was determined to stamp out Polish culture and forbid anyone from speaking in Polish. Marie herself noted that if a child had a single conversation in Polish, their entire family could be endangered, not just the child, his or herself. However, as expected, most people wanted to preserve their culture and showed great patriotism. Curie grew up learning to be very nationalist from her parents. The Skłodowska family was actually doing quite well financially until the Russian supervisor in charge of the school Marie's father taught at fired Skłodowska for his pro-Polish sentiments. After that, Marie's father was forced into lower and lower academic positions. Ergo, the Skłodowska family's economic situation was deteriorating. In order to make ends meet, they took in student boarders. But unfortunately, Marie's oldest sister, Zofia, caught typhus from a student and died. Tragically, this death was followed by that of Curie's mother, who passed away due to tuberculosis. Marie remembered this as the first greatest sorrow of her life, and this event brought all of the remaining family members closer together. Marie still maintained her position at the top of her class, but she was denied a gold medal when she graduated from high school in 1883 because it meant shaking the hand of the Grand Master of Education. She graduated at the age of 15, but this marked the happiest and most carefree year of her life after Curie suffered a collapse due to depression. She spent a year with her cousins in the country and enjoyed festivities to overcome her diagnosis. After high school, Marie wanted to get an advanced degree, but due to stereotypical beliefs at the time, women were not allowed to enroll in universities such as the University of Warsaw, where Marie's older brother was studying. Therefore, Marie and her sister Bronya joined the floating university. Though the curriculum did not match those of other universities, it gave Marie a taste of progressivism and developments in science. The other downside was that it was illegal. The students in this night school, met in different locations to avoid Russian authorities. The students hoped that their education would gradually one day lead to Polish liberalization, as well as educating and improving themselves. Adult life. Marie and Bronya still needed to find a way to further educate themselves. Therefore, they made a covenant between each other. At the age of 17, Marie would take up jobs as a private tutor to help Bronya save up enough money to attend a medical school in Paris and cover her living expenses as well. And as soon as she could, Bronya would help Marie attend a university as well. However, after tutoring children from wealthy families in various subjects, Marie realized that she wasn't saving money efficiently enough and made the decision to work as a governess, which she did so for the next 3 years. Her employer, an agriculturist, was very fond of Marie and allowed her to educate the illiterate children of peasant laborers and even encourage his elder daughter to assist Curie, something that was, in the eyes of the Tsar, treason. In her lonely hours, the young woman began to self-study and identify her field of interest. When it became clear that she wanted to pursue math and physical sciences, she took chemistry lessons from a chemist in the beet sugar factory that her employer ran. Marie returned to Warsaw in 1889 and worked as a live-in governess for another year before returning to live with her father and work as a private tutor. In addition, during her absence, financial matters had improved in the Sklodowski household, and her father had become the director of a reform school, a position that paid well enough so that he could help pay for Bronya's education. And by fall 1891, Marie would have saved enough money to attend the University of Paris, the Sorbonne. However, Curie still lacked real laboratory experience. Her cousin, Joseph Boguski, who ran the Museum of Industry and Agriculture, really was in charge of a laboratory that trained Polish scientists. You really had to laud his ingenuity. Marie took an intensive chemistry course on Sundays and evenings, though she often struggled and failed to replicate the results. Finally, in 1891, she set out for Paris and her dream was coming true at last. When she arrived at first, Marie lived with Bronya and her husband. But as the university was an hour's time from her sister's household, she lost a lot of time and money on commute. Lastly, living with Bronya Duska meant actively participating in the Polish exile community in Paris, and Marie's father warned her that this might jeopardize her career prospects at home or the lives of relatives living there. Ergo, after a few months, Curie moved to the Latin Quarter, a neighborhood of students and artists close to the university. She lived on a very basic standard, wearing every piece of clothing she owned during the winters to keep herself warm, and even fainting from hunger because she was too absorbed in her studies to eat. But living alone allowed Marie to focus on her studies. This seemed to pay off. Marie's fear of being behind in math, science, and French was confirmed, but she did not let herself lose heart and diligently worked to catch up. Due to her hard work, she finished first in her master's degree physics course in 1893 and second in math in 1894. A lack of money almost stopped her from earning her math degree, but senior French scientists noticed her ability and pulled a few strings. She was awarded a scholarship and was even commissioned for this by the Science Society for the Encouragement of National Industry to do a study relating magnetic properties of different steels to their chemical composition, and to do so she needed to find a lab where she could conduct this study. However, searching for a lab space led her to Pierre Curie, who had inadequate lab facilities, but this meeting found both of them an equal, and they married on July 26, 1895. Before this, however, Marie pursued her doctorate and urged Pierre to receive one as well, which he was awarded in March 1895. In addition to holding two master's degrees, Curie also decided to gain a certificate that would permit her to teach science to young women. She also continued her research on the magnetic properties of steel. The director of the Municipal School of Industrial Physics and Chemistry gave her permission to conduct the work on school premises and received complimentary steel samples from several metallurgical firms. After submitting the results of her research in summer 1897, Marie used part of her payment to return the scholarship money from 4 years ago in hopes of contributing to the education of some other worthy Polish student. A couple of months later, in September, the Curie's first daughter Irene was born. Sadly, only a few weeks after the birth of Irene, Pierre's mother passed away and Dr. Eugene Curie, Pierre's father, moved in with Marie, Pierre, and Irene. Dr. Curie was found to be an ideal caretaker for Irene, and this forged a strong bond between Irene and Dr. Curie over the years. However, despite Marie's full and satisfying life, she missed her family, particularly after Bronia and her husband returned to Poland. But with her household in order and the results of her first research published, Marie decided to choose a topic for her doctoral research. After being influenced by the recent discoveries of X-rays and uranium radiation, Curie decided to investigate the uranium rays, which had been on the whole ignored due to excitement from the X-ray discovery. Marie confirmed that the electrical effects of uranium rays are constant, regardless of the state it was in. She also validated that minerals with a higher proportion of uranium emitted the most intense rays, but also hypothesized that the emission of rays by uranium compounds could be an atomic property of the element uranium. Marie herself did not fully believe that radioactive energy came from within atoms, but her hypothesis would prove revolutionary. In April 1898, Curie found that thorium compounds also emitted Becquerel rays, and she invented the term radioactivity to describe the behavior of uranium and thorium. Marie's research also intrigued Pierre, to the extent that he decided to join forces with her. Marie's research also revealed that two ores, pitchblende and chalcolite, were much more radioactive than pure uranium, suggesting that this might be due to another undiscovered radioactive element. However, tracking down this new element would prove extremely difficult. The Curies had to separate the different substances in pitchblende to measure the minute amount of the new element among the portions. They found that two fractions, one containing mostly bismuth and another containing mostly barium, were strongly radioactive, and published in July 1898 that bismuth contained a new element they named polonium in honor of Marie's birthplace. A second publication in December 1898 concluded that barium contained a new element that they named radium. They were so close to achieving the high honor of adding two new elements to the periodic table. First, they had to convince the scientific community of the existence of these two new elements. Marie had to isolate the bismuth and barium from the pitchblende. She had to treat large quantities of pitchblende and acquire the desired material. Luckily, some help was available to complete the tedious job. In exchange for supplying chemical products and paying staff wages, the Central Chemical Products Company took a share of the radium salts extracted on its premises. In this way, the company made a handsome profit marketing the radium later on. However, despite the assistance Marie received, it took 3 years for Marie to isolate 1/10 gram of pure radium chloride. She never succeeded in extracting polonium because of radioactive decay and polonium's half-life of 138 days. At last, the scientific community was intrigued. Curiously, Marie and Pierre never patented the processes used to isolate radium, not believing in profits. The thriving industry of radium never made the Curies any profit, and thus Pierre was forced to seek a higher-paying position. Pierre found no welcome at French universities, but when the University of Geneva offered a desirable position, the French found the threat of losing Pierre to Switzerland so disturbing that Pierre was offered the position of chair of physics at a Sorbonne program. Though Pierre's salary rose, he had to maintain a double load of work, and as he was not provided with a lab along with his position, the Curies had to continue work at their old shed. Both Marie and Pierre noted a deterioration in their health, but never thought to accredit it to radiation exposure. Marie was also anxious to contribute to the family income and decided to become the first woman to be appointed lecturer at the Sèvres College. She was also the first professor to include laboratory work in the physics curriculum. However, more problems arose. In 1902, the prestigious French Academy of Sciences denied Pierre a membership, and Marie's father passed away after a difficult gallbladder operation. In 1903, the French Academy of Sciences nominated Henri Becquerel and Pierre Curie for a Nobel Prize in the field of radioactivity, but not Marie. After pulling some strings, Marie was nominated as well. The Curies would receive their prize for contributions in radioactivity, but not radium and polonium's discovery. They were told that they might receive a future Nobel Prize in chemistry for their discovery, and in truth, there were still some doubts about whether the elements really existed because they were isolated in such minuscule amounts. The prize money that the Curies received helped them cover the expenses of treating the pitchblende and hire a lab assistant. However, the publicity took a toll on their productivity. Eve Curie was born in 1904, and even though Marie took some time off of work, she soon resumed her research and teaching position. In 1906, Pierre seemed to become more involved in his work again. On April 19, 1906, he planned on filling his day both socially and professionally. However, tragically, he never completed that day. While hurrying to cross a wet street, he was run over by a horse-drawn carriage weighing 6 tons and was killed instantly. Marie, in shock, began to attend to the necessary arrangements, but did not break down until Pierre's older brother Jacques arrived the next day. Jacques encouraged Marie to go back to work the next day and informed her that the government proposed to support her with a pension. Marie firmly denied this, but a month later, Curie was surprised with an offer to take up Pierre's post, and Marie hoped that with this appointment, she could establish a state-of-the-art lab as a tribute to Pierre, building one like he never had. But still, life went on. On the 5th of November that same year, Marie gave a matter-of-fact opening lecture about developments made in physics over the past decade. In addition, Lord Kelvin that summer had challenged the existence of radium and claimed it must have been a compound of lead and 5 helium atoms. Marie began to work to disprove him and set a basis so that no one could challenge radioactivity. With the help of André Debierne, she confirmed radium was an element and took measurements such as the atomic weight. Marie also sought out to create an institution. A grant from Andrew Carnegie in 1907 enabled her to assemble a staff as a start. With some persuasion, the government funded University of Paris with the Pasteur Foundation to fund a radium institute. Marie's work at the Sorbonne and her own research was so time-consuming that she turned over her position at the Sèvres to her friend and colleague Paul Langevin. Despite her schedule, she made time to run a school with other parents who disapproved of the French system of education, and each family agreed to teach one class a week in their field of expertise. Marie and her daughters, yet again, were met by another saddening blow, the death of Pierre's father. Now Polish governesses helped raise Irene and Eve. However, Marie managed in that year to isolate radium metal, published a treatise on radioactivity, and secured the right to define an international standard for radium emissions, which was accepted by the scientific community and was termed as the Curie. In November 1910, Marie offered herself as a candidate to fill in a seat at the French Academy of Sciences. This provoked a lot of racism, and many rumors spread about Curie in the end prevented her from getting the position as she was outvoted by 2 votes. She responded to this by going back to work. In 1911, Marie Curie received a second Nobel Prize for the discovery of radium and polonium. However, stress, depression, and acute kidney problems led her to a kidney operation, and she spent many months recuperating. On December 3, 1912, Marie made her first lab notebook entry in nearly 14 months after feeling well enough to return to work. In 1914, Marie saw the completion of her Radium Institute building. Then the First World War came along. As the war was coming closer to France, the government decided to move the country's entire supply of radium, which was Marie's gram, to a safe deposit box in Bordeaux. Marie could have stayed there, but she felt that she needed to return to Paris. To contribute to war effort, Marie developed the Petit Curies, X-ray devices to help diagnose and treat wounded soldiers on the battlefield. As her assistant, she selected her 17-year-old daughter Irene. The Petit Curies saved many, many soldiers' lives. Irene was recognized for her work with a military medal, but Marie did not receive one, probably due to her involvement in a publicized affair. Marie incorporated radiology into her lectures at the Sorbonne. She even offered to melt down her medals she received as a part of her Nobel Prize nominations, but was turned down by the French government. Curie continued to actively participate in war efforts. In order to establish her Radium Institute, Curie, along with the help of Missy Maloney, Marie Curie made the trip to the United States in 1921 to gain a gram of radium. Unfortunately, despite being the scientist who discovered the element, Marie possessed only 1 gram of radium, while the United States had about 50 times the amount that Marie Curie had. After interviewing Marie, a shocked Missy decided to help Madame Curie gain the second gram of radium she desired. After touring the States, Marie accepted the gram of radium directly from President Harding himself. However, the journey greatly tired her, taking a significant toll on her already declining health. Marie also took a second trip to the United States in 1929 to acquire a second gram to support the Warsaw Radium Institute, one that was founded in 1925 and directed by Curie's sister Bronya. The Radium Institute was a world-class facility whose level rivaled the best of the best, such as the Cavendish Laboratory. It became an international center for radium study, and Marie dedicated her life no longer to research, but to directing the Radium Institute. Meanwhile, Marie's daughter Irene and her husband Frederick Joliot Curie became stars of the Radium Institute, earning a Nobel Prize for discovering artificial radioactivity. While Marie learned of their accomplishment, she never lived to see them receive the award. However, as early as 1920, Marie's health began to decline terribly. She suffered from a double cataract that was caused due to radiation exposure, but this was not known at the time. Her vision was impaired severely and she required much assistance. Though it was largely believed that scientists and researchers did not face the same radiation hazards as industrial workers, Madame Curie decided it was better to be safe than sorry and have her staff members undergo routine blood checks and care for their health. She found it a possibility that radium could cause the health problems she herself was undergoing. Madame Curie was often too sick to go to work. In May 1934, she made her last visit to the Radium Institute, after which she was far too ill to attend to work. Specialists could not diagnose her, and some, believing her condition to be tuberculosis, advised her to recuperate at a sanatorium. At last, she was diagnosed with an incurable blood disease, aplastic pernicious anemia, which was suspected to have stemmed from her exposure to radium and radiation. Marie Curie passed away on July 4, 1934, with her daughter Eve by her side. Her memory, legacy, and contribution to science will be forever remembered and built upon for generations to come. The impact of Marie's work. Marie Curie fundamentally changed science in several ways. For instance, she coined the term radioactivity, a key topic in science. Her discovery of radium and polonium not only added 2 new elements to the periodic table, but also helped enhance our knowledge of medicine and health. Her unwavering dedication to science brought a huge impact into the world. Without Madame Curie's work, we wouldn't have radioactivity or much recognition for women in the field of science either. With her magnificent works, Curie brought women into the limelight and proved that men didn't have to be the only scientists who could win Nobel Prizes. Being the very first woman to do so, Marie significantly changed the role of women in society and science. For all these reasons, the world has progressed as far as it has to this day. Fun fact. A fun fact about Marie Curie is that her family holds the record for the most Nobel Prizes. With a total of 4 Nobel Prizes, the Curie family tops the list. 2 of them were awarded to Marie Curie, one to Marie's daughter Irene and her husband Frederick Joliot Curie, and one to Eve Curie's husband Henry Richardson Labuse Jr. The Curie family is deeply rooted not only in science, but also in matters such as peace. Labuse's Nobel Prize was actually a Nobel Peace Prize, earned for his work in the United Nations. Quote, "A scientist in his laboratory is not a mere technician. He is also a child confronting natural phenomena that impress him as though they were fairy tales." Marie Curie. Thank you so much for listening to the 5th episode in our series, Famous Personalities. This episode was about Marie Curie, an accomplished researcher who changed science for the better. This is Shri Priya signing off. See you next time!